Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. As a big fan of Brecht and someone who's always up for satire, I was very excited to get to the New Ohio Theater last weekend for Collaboration Town's The Deepest Play Ever, The Catharsis of Pathos. And I was not disappointed in the least. After the show, the playwright and one of the founders of Collaboration Town, Jeffrey Dekus O'Donnell, joined me in the audience seats for a quick interview before he'd even gotten to take off his makeup. Yep, that's right. He's also acting in the show. Take a listen.
To start, I guess I always ask people to give me their name, their proper pronunciation.
Sure. Jeffrey Dekus O'Donnell.
And you go by Gio, right?
I go by Gio.
Is that okay? Can I call
you Gio?
Yeah,
please.
I feel so Oprah right now. Can I call you Gio? Great. So you are the playwright, as well as Dalvador Salí. Let's say that correctly, right?
That is. Okay. That's correct. Dalvador Salí.
In the play. And the play is The Deepest Play Ever, The Catharsis of Pathos. This was a blast to watch.
Nice.
First out to say, a 2.5 hour epic, incorporating everything from, oh my gosh, actually you're the playwright, so let me hopefully you can give me a kind of a rundown of how you started writing this play and worked in all these wonderful bits that those of us in the theater world kind of laugh at.
Yeah, initially it started with the desire to make a sort of comedic satire of very self-important epic theater that usually, I felt like I was seeing a lot of stuff. This was 6 years ago I started work on it. And it was a lot of stuff between school and here where it was sort of like, this is about violence, and it felt very heavy-handed and it was so serious. And so I had this desire to make a satire of that. And then as I started figuring out how to do that, the idea, I was like, I think I should use Mother Courage as like the framework to sort of build a scaffolding around and figure that out. And then as I was writing it and making this outline, it became more of an homage to theater. It sort of took on its own life, and these crazy plots like the zombies sort of came into play when I was like, we should pull in Faustus a little and have like Mephistopheles and all that. And then it just sort of kind of expanded outward. And then with this version, with the help of the directors and the composer, the four of us worked really hard on figuring out how to make all of them come together, all those different plot strands come together.
So in the version that was in The Fringe a couple years ago, you don't feel that it was...
It was a lot different. No,
it
yeah,
was,
it just
okay.
sort of... it kind of just sort of blew up.
The Fringe version.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And that... Like the Dalvador plot, the Albatross, the Madre Madre, they all sort of stayed separate and kept going until the end. And now we've weaved them all together.
The time narrator is a really great convention to weave all this together.
Yeah.
But is also sort of he's got this Joker-like feel, but you're also commenting on the use of it at the same time.
Yeah.
Is he somebody who came in to help tie these things together, or has he always been there?
He's always been there.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Winter's Tale, so there's a lot of like allusions to the Winter's Tale, and time as narrator is the one who moves the play forward 16 years. When I was sort of trying to figure out how we could keep jumping, that's when I was like, well, if time as narrator come in and keep moving it along. And then he sort of became this kind of like tough love. He sort of reminds all the humans in the audience why we have to put on this play to teach them.
Which is also this Brechtian idea.
Yeah.
And the lovely use of signs was very, very fun as someone who just recently did Threepenny. And not so tongue-in-cheek, but to see it done tongue-in-cheek, but also... I felt like you were faithful. It was also an homage. It wasn't just,
definitely,
like you said,
a
rip on this very self-important theater.
Yeah.
You treated it with love.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I'm a huge fan of Brecht. And his aesthetic and the way he wants his plays to be done, or wanted his plays to be done. And so, but I think in that seriousness, there's also room to sort of giggle at it, you know. But embrace it and do it, because it's a fun way to put on a play.
It's a great line that you walked. You were able to do it. Now, speaking of walking that line, you had to walk a line between playwright and actor. Mm-hmm. How was that?
It's good. It's been tricky at some points. There are times, especially when we started doing runs, when I started really trying to focus on just being an actor, but we were also working on the script still in tech as it went up.
That was going to be my next question. So you were making edits. Did you have the script in your back pocket and scribble out as between lines?
Yeah, we would like have breaks and I would run up into the seats and like talk with the directors and be like, I think we need, or they'd be like, run to me and be like, we need to change this line.
Move this, cut this, yeah.
And the actors were really very wonderful. We were, one of the previews, we came an hour before the show and we're like, can you say these lines here at the beginning of the scene now? And they did it though.
Everyone was on board.
Yeah.
Hey, what is the, what was the timeline like for this? Now, you did the show in Fringe when?
In 2006.
So it's been 6 years.
Yeah.
Have you been working on it steadily since then, or are you coming back to it every now and again? Why bring it back now in 2012?
It's been something that, when we did it in the Fringe, it was very much a workshop idea. Like, when I applied it to the Fringe, I just had an outline, and the play was half finished,
mm-hmm.
and it got accepted, and I was like, okay, I need to finish this play now, and we need to... And it was very rushed. It was like, we need to get it up. We need to... And the Fringe is crazy, and it's hard to do a big show in the Fringe. So it was a wonderful experience, and it was a wonderful production, but it was very skin of our teeth. And since then, I've been trying to find the right time to get a lot of the original people involved, actor-wise, to come back and do it, and to get all the pieces together. And the last... 2 years we've been searching for the right moment to put it on.
So the development of this version, like, what's your rehearsal process been like? How long has that been going on?
We started this in early fall, like September, meeting with... We got Lee and Jordan to agree to direct it. And I started working with Mikey, the composer, figuring it all out. And that's when we started really... like re-looking at the outline and really trying to work the plot together and figure that all out. So we did. We had a few mini workshops, the four of us, in the fall and in January.
And you're one of the founders of the producing company,
mm-hmm.
Collaboration Town.
Yeah.
Is it difficult to have... Now this is like the third hat that you have on in a way as the producer.
Well,
are you considered a producer? How would you?
Well, the way we sort of do it, this one is very much an all hands on deck type show because of its scope.
Right.
But usually there's between Jordan Boo, TJ and I, and Amanda Feldman, who's a managing director, and Lee Sunday Evans, who's our resident director. We sort of usually, on a show, there'll usually be one of us who is not as involved and will work with Amanda so others can focus on other aspects.
Right.
And I definitely focused more on playwriting and acting and was able to let go of a lot of the producing stuff.
And can you give a preview of what's next for Collaboration Town for you?
We're going into development. We're applying for some workshop grants. We've got a few ideas for new shows. Having to do with memory, we've got these Oliver Sacks stories about memory and face recognition.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I'm a Radiolab fan, so I've heard a lot of those.
It's very inspired by Radiolab stories and whatnot.
Only my podcast were that good.
Yeah.
Curse you, Jed.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to sit with me. Gio's currently on dinner break.
I'm smelling the delicious pizza.
Yeah, I am too. I think I'm going to have to go find some. And... you didn't even take your makeup. You should maybe not eat blue pizza.
I know. But the show, we're half hours in half hours, there's no point.
All right, well, thanks again for taking the time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for letting me keep you from your dinner for a few minutes, Gio, to do a podcast interview. You've got just four more chances to catch the deepest play ever, The Catharsis of Pathos, at the New Ohio Theater on Christopher Street in the West Village. Tonight, Thursday, March 22nd, and tomorrow, Friday, March 23rd, both at 7:30 p.m., or at two showings on Saturday, March 24th, one at 5 p.m. and the other at 9 p.m. Tickets and more information are available at collaborationtown.org. And thank you, as always, to you for listening into the podcast. Be sure to like it on Facebook at facebook.com/goseeashow. Follow and retweet the heck out of our posts on Twitter at GoSeeAShow, and give a rating and a comment over at iTunes. As always, if you have any comments, questions, praise, or complaints, please feel free to send them to me at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, at GoSeeAShowPodcast.com. Until next time, go see a show.